No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hey, welcome to the second half of my discussion with Dr. Jacek. This is a extended version of yesterday's podcast where we're going to talk about what we see, what experts see on how to keep ourselves healthy and therefore keeping our pets healthy. Enjoy.
They're taking on these toxic emotions so that their people don't get sick. Because the pets don't inherently have those emotions, I don't think. I mean, it's not like they don't have emotions, they don't have personalities, but I don't think pets naturally hold on to emotions like humans do, but they'll take them on from their people. And there's, you know, there's energies, there's frequencies, like, you walk in a room and there's just some people you just don't want to be around. Like, man, I just don't like that person. Other people, like, you just can't get enough of them. Like, you could just hang out with them all day long. And they're not an energy drain. And other people just seem to have this frequency that doesn't fit with you. Well, I think those frequencies, I think, definitely affect pets. And so I think it's really important to consider that. And I probably need to talk more. It would help pets if I talked more to people about, you know, what's the lifestyle? Are you getting your pet out? Are you letting your dog do what dogs love to do? Get out and sniff and run and sniff other dogs' butts and, you know, stuff like that. Because that's what dogs love to do. They talk a lot about joy. That, like, you know, they talk about the pH. They said that the best way to regulate the pH in your blood is to experience 10 minutes of joy every day. You know, well, what's joy for our pets? You know, it's really pretty simple. Sniffing around, you know, hanging out with other dogs, going out and getting all dirty and muddy and just doing the stuff that dogs love to do. So I do think that's true. And, you know, I really think that maybe that's why we just see some cases that are just so hard to clear up. Or like for cancer, like why do some cancer patients like do really well and others don't? Is it that emotional energy? And this isn't being critical of pet parents. We all have our stuff to deal with. But I think if you really want your pet to be in optimal health, then you have a responsibility to be kind of dealing with your stuff and not be, you know, I think a lot of people get pets because they're comforting and it's nice to have them around. But maybe pets shouldn't be that much emotional support, or at least be thinking about the emotional health of your dog, and especially certain breeds. What is your breed? If you have a border collie, that's a herding breed, they like to herd things. So are they getting that outlet? Are they getting out and being able, you know, to do those sorts of things? So I think the emotional health of our pets is really important and probably way under recognized.
Well, the name of the Biggleson's, it's called the Biggleson Academy. They have the University of Terrain, okay? And we talk about the terrain inside the body. But what they really point out is our terrain is our outside environment too, right? We're in this symbiotic world where we're all, you know, in this environment, and it all plays a part in our health, right? So it's not as if you can have a super toxic home, meaning, let's say, let's just take for example that you've got two pet parents and they're fighting all the time and they're really angry and they're unhappy, right? But you're doing a lot of great things for your dog, like feeding raw and not putting toxins in their body. There's still that terrain. Right? They're still a part of that environment. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Just like what you said, that I think we forget these frequencies that come that we're exposed to. Just like what you said, there's not a person that's listening today that hasn't had that experience of being creeped out by somebody. Right. They meet somebody and they're like, that person just that energy source, whatever that is around that person, right, is not right. Something's not right. Or you've got that person in the office, that one person that can just bring the rest of the team down.
Just by walking in the room. Just by walking in the room. They didn't even have to say anything.
Just by walking in the room. I had this example yesterday, right? So I'm at the warehouse, and I will say that my team is happy. We have a happy, fun environment. But we share space with another company. And there is a person there that I don't know. It just comes out of nowhere that they can just, like a missile, come in with this crazy attitude. And the fun, it's like the fun police, right? It's just that boom, everything stops. And this happened yesterday. And I said, oh, no, not on my watch, right? Whatever your situation is, you know, we're not taking that on. You know, I'm sorry you're having a bad day, but we have a great time here at Raw Dog Food and Company because we love what we do. And you know, it brought that energy in my team back up where we were all laughing, right? But I'm just like, one person, that's why they say in a company, right? You want to get rid of that negative energy. Why? Because it affects your people. It affects your terrain. It affects your environment. So we cannot just say that the terrain theory versus germ theory, that's a whole, you know, another discussion we'll do, but is just inside the dog. It is outside of the dog as well, or cat. You know, cats are probably like, "Rawr, let me out. I gotta go climb a tree, get away from you."
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it's That's all right. of these different types of things. And health, the Bigglesons, and you guys, you've got to look them up. Some of you may not be at that space and time yet where maybe you can, how do I want to say this? Dr. Judy, how do I want to say that maybe, like you were saying, certain things don't vibrate with you. It will with some of you and it won't with others. But it's just amazing how you and I have come at this point in time to recognize them. And we say there are no coincidences, right? That when the student's ready, the teacher will appear and you will find these people on your path when you're ready, if you're open. And you're really looking that can help you in your next stage, the
and,
journey.
And, you know, if for anybody that listens to them and feels like, okay, that I just can't go there. You know, there's the, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Like these guys are really resonated with Dee Dee and I were like really ready for this information. But maybe, you know, look up the terrain theory. That there was a lady on one of the videos I watched, and I can't remember her name, but she helped produce a movie called Terrain, and they talk about the terrain versus the germ theory. So maybe listen to somebody else that's talking about, you know, the same concept, and maybe they'll resonate with you. I feel like this has been a progression for me over years of learning different ways of thinking about things. So if this just seems to be too much, maybe, you know, look up some of the other people that they talk about that are in their camp, and then maybe that will help kind of step you into it. But I think it's just important, just because new information is uncomfortable or a little unsettling, not to just dismiss it. Now, sometimes things are unsettling because they're not true and you should eventually dismiss them. But the point is, I think you want to look into things and make sure you're not dismissing things unnecessarily or unfairly or you're not doing your research into the issues.
It's so funny because I was like, how come I've never heard of these guys before? Right? Sort of like people do about the raw dog food diet. They're like, how come I've never heard of feeding your dog a species appropriate diet before? Right? Well, maybe you weren't looking. Maybe it didn't matter. Maybe, you know, who knows?
The vets sure don't talk about it.
Right? It because, you know, you and I have been doing it for decades, right? So we're like, how do people not know? But it is true. People don't know. A lot of people don't know, as evidenced by how large the pet food industry is, right? The kibble industry is. It is huge. But we wanted to introduce you guys to the Biggleson's, B-I-G-E-L-S-E-N, okay? And they're going to be talking to you about holographic blood, okay? They read things in the blood, which is very different, Dr. Jasek, than what most doctors do, right? Uh-huh. And so if you guys, anybody out there is struggling with some sort of disease that nobody can seem to figure it out, and then I would highly suggest that maybe you learn about what the Biggleson's do. They don't sell supplements. They don't sell. All they do is look at blood. That's it. That's all they do. And for 40 plus years, right, they've been doing this. And they have, it's a piece of information. And it's amazing. And so you and I are like, well, what could they find in dog's blood?
Yeah.
It would be amazing, right? To have that
very,
at your disposal.
Very interesting. Very right? interesting to find out. Yep.
And I said, wow, if somebody, some pet parent's face showed up in their dog's blood, I mean, that would be like, you're causing me issues. No, I don't know. But it's something that we're looking into. And we just wanted to mention them because I find them fascinating.
Yeah.
I find them absolutely fascinating. And they dovetail right in with Dr. Cowan and Kaufman and the Baileys. And Vollmer, there's a lot of people out there, Dr. Jasek. Maybe they've always been outside of the box. Maybe COVID woke a lot of people up and said, this doesn't make any sense. Maybe people said these authority, supposedly figures, CDC, FDA, all those different agencies, they found out that they had a lot of inconsistencies. Maybe the keto lawsuit that said you totally planned this scam to get, pet parents over here to do these tests and put them on this certain type of food and to invalidate these other types of food. So we're seeing this today, right? We're yeah. seeing that the agencies that we believed in, that we thought had our best interest at heart, maybe didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And what, the one of the things that really impresses me about these guys, it's like, you're not going to find, people are like, well, show me the research. Well, most research is completely bogus and it's mm-hmm. designed to create a certain result. But these guys have the experience. Their dad did this. Their dad was a physician and he has passed, but he's been doing this work. So they have, I think they said in one of their videos between these two men and their dad, there's over 100 years of experience collectively looking at blood, and there's just no substitute for experience. So, when people come out and they've just been doing something for like a couple of years,
right?
It takes a long time to get experience. Like they say, well, the blood has to be processed exactly right, or it can be read incorrectly. There's people trying to read blood that don't process it correctly because they haven't been doing it very long and they don't have their level of experience, and they will even teach people how to do this. And you said, well, why haven't we heard of these people? But these people can't be out there mainstream.
Mm-mm.
Or they'd be murdered or shut. Right. Well, they already had a clinic shut down, right? Mm-hmm. And they can't put this stuff out there that goes so far against the popular narrative, because they'll be shut down one way or another. They'll be under constant attack, their businesses get attacked, they get, people get, suicided sometimes because of speaking out against the narrative. So they have to stay a little bit under wraps. But yeah, I believe information comes forward at certain times for a reason, for sure.
Yeah. And when I was introduced to them, and maybe you had the same experience, Dr. Jasek, they were just authentic.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sales pitch. They don't have anything to sell.
They don't sell anything.
I mean, they sell their academy, right? And their whole premise in the academy is what we try to do on these podcasts and through the webinars that you've done is to educate. So there, and they say this, their premise is to educate people so that they can take control of their health.
Right.
Because the medical industry is captured. You know, Harvey Bickelson, who's the father, right, said this, that he's talking about Rockefeller. When Rockefeller took over the medical industry, he said it was a business decision. However, Rockefeller always had a homeopath on staff, and he never took any pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
He said it was a total business decision. Made a lot of money.
Made a lot of money making people sick.
And if you don't believe that, we'll just take a look at the whole, the Statlers. Is it the Statler? Who are the
Sacklers.
Sacklers.
Sacklers with the opium. Yeah. Or with the
painkillers.
Oxycontin. The Oxycontin. Yep.
Yeah. Total business decision. Do you think they were all sitting around eating Oxycontin?
Nope.
No.
Because they saw what it did to people, and they knew it was addictive. Yet they would go out and they, and the one older Sackler that started this, he was a psychiatrist, and he was also, he's a doctor. He went to medical school. So he learned how to convince doctors to sell medications and what verbiage to use to sell it. So even though they knew this was addictive and doctors were seeing it in their patients, they had ways of convincing the doctors that that was not true and that they didn't, it wasn't addictive. It was just there just on the wrong dose. So they gave all these excuses, and it's been devastating. I mean, there's people that so many people that have lost their lives to overdoses or ruined their lives. There was even I read the book. The book is called Empire of Pain. And one of the secretaries for one of the higher up Sacklers got addicted to it because she had some back injury or something and got started on it. And they just moved her on. They didn't help her. They didn't help put her through rehab or anything. She supported this company for years and years and years. And they just sent her on her way. They didn't help her because they couldn't admit that it was addictive. Because if they'd helped her get past her addiction, then they'd have to admit that it was addictive. And they couldn't do that. It was all the person's fault. Like if somebody got addicted, it's because they had addictive tendencies. It wasn't that the drug was addictive.
Right.
But that's the type of manipulation that goes on. And, you know, I feel like you were saying, I feel like I really know truth when I hear it. And to me, these guys were just super authentic. They're just giving information. They're not selling things. So many companies that do testing of one sort or another, including a lot of doctors, even holistic or naturopathic doctors, they sell tons of supplements. They make a lot of money doing that. And so are they in the supplement business, or are they actually interested in health, helping you? These guys just give you the information and then you go figure it out. It's kind of what, I mean, they're trying to, I think, find practitioners to refer to, though it's hard to find them. But I think they're helping they're trying to help build a network of more like-minded people to refer people to, but they're just giving the information, like, this is what your blood's telling us, you know, and take that information and do with it what you want. But they have, you know, they have educational resources on their website too. But yeah, I'm really excited to dig into this a little more.
Well, and I, what they are trying to help people understand is how simple health really is, right? Mm-hmm. They said, look, health is simple. People are complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we know that. We know that.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right. And so, but again, it takes a while. It takes a while to get your head around what am I doing that's not healthy for myself or healthy for my pet, right? Because I've been told by the quote unquote experts, the people that are supposed to be in the health business, whether that be for people or pets, they're telling me something totally opposite. And what if I make the wrong decision?
Right.
Right. This is This is the fear. And Harvey Biggleson, Dr. Biggleson, said something on one of his videos the other day that was that I know, but it was very powerful to me. And he said, stay in the now, right now. Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and yesterday's gone. So if you stay in the now, if your pet has cancer or you're dealing with cancer, stay right here, right now, and take that next step. Right? And that's all we can really do. And I think fear is so powerful, but fear tends to come, Dr. Jacek, when we don't know what the future brings. But we don't know what the future brings anyway. It's not here yet. And
Right. What is it? What is the acronym? False experiences appearing real or something?
right.
You're just anticipating. Like how many things? And I've done this so many times. I catch myself. You anticipate things. You worry about how many things that you obsess or like. You wake at 3 in the morning worrying about something, and it never happens. Or you're worried about a situation, something you got to do the next day, and it turns out completely differently. So I try to catch myself and say, well, if I'm just making this stuff up anyway, why don't I just make up a positive outcome? Because I'm just making it up anyway. So why obsess over something negative? Why don't I just set an intention that this is just going to turn out perfectly fine in the best interest of everybody? And easier said than done. It's easy to get in that fear and anxiety loop, but it is all in our head. And even if you are sick or your pet is sick, do you really want to pass up the opportunity to have time to spend with your pet, enjoy your pet because you're sitting, in fear and worry? And again, I know it's hard. We don't want to face having a sick pet, but you're also missing that opportunity to spend quality time with your pet on the, computer, researching all the, supplements you can buy, to treat their cancer. Go get out for a walk. Go, that's one of the things they talk about a lot. And I think it's really important that we find joy in life every day. And then your pet's going to pick up on that energy. If you're working towards finding joy in your life every day, your pet's going to pick up on that. And you're going to be healthier and your pet's going to be healthier. That's one of the things they say, like life happens. We have stressful, stuff happens. These like have a list of things in life that bring you joy. And as soon as something stressful happens, then you just take a few minutes and do something that brings you joy. Have things you can do for just, 5 minutes. And I think that really landed for me because it's really easy to forget. And I think it's really important because our life has become so, we got this technology and it's so fast paced and we can be so driven and there's so much information and so many things that we could be afraid of. But like you said, come down, what's in this moment that where I can find joy or that I can be grateful for? Because there's always something, and what a shame to miss out on that.
Yeah. And trust me, my husband has said to me many, many days, Didi, how do you get out of bed every morning? You're so afraid of things. Or basically he says, how did you learn to get out of bed? Because your mom's so afraid of everything, right? But I do think that we all are in a leadership role in some capacity, right? I'm in a leadership role for my team. At the warehouse, I'm in a leadership role for the people that listen to us on the podcast. And I think when you realize that you're in a leadership role, then maybe you take things a little more personally into what you need to be able to do, what you should do, what you can do, right? What can you do? And I think that we give up far too often, just like our pet parents who say, I don't have a choice. You damn sure do. Okay?
You always have a
You
choice.
have a choice. Period. And giving that power away will not do you any good. It won't make it any easier in the long run. It just won't, right? You still have to deal with what is in front of you. And so You know, it's just like this whole 75 hard thing, Dr. Jasek, that I did. There were so many people that were started out, well over 50 people in our group, right? That started out on the 75 hard thing. Do I really want to do all that in my mind? Do I really want to work out 2 times a day? Do I really want to drink all that water? Do I really want to? No. I really could have talked myself out of it, made every excuse, but I made that decision. I'm going to do this. And I ran fever during it. I had a, you know, I slept on the couch because I was coughing so bad. And thank goodness I also have a husband who is very determined to do that sort of thing. And so I think that it's important that you have a team, you have people around you that can help you. Because that's an extraordinary person that can just pull themselves out of something on their own. I'm not that person, right?
That's tough to do, right?
Yeah. So I have that team. But first, you have to make a decision that it's not going to kill you. It may be uncomfortable. It's not going to kill you to step outside of your comfort zone to do something. And it was a commitment for sure. 75 days is a commitment. And you know, I made it. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I made it, right? That builds on the next step in your life. It's always like I said, you know, in my singing career, in my speaking career, I didn't walk out to Yankee Stadium with 48,000 people having never been on a stage in my life, right? I don't think you could do that. Maybe you could, but you would have to learn to get that adrenaline, the stories out of your head. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that I could have done that had I not taken those other challenging steps of getting up on a stage, of speaking in front of people, of doing shows, of singing, right? It's a journey, but you have to start somewhere, right? So if it makes you uncomfortable to push back on your vet, or to take this rabies information that you put out there and question them, that's okay. That's normal for you to feel uncomfortable. But that step will allow you to take the next step and the next step and the next step to grow. You will never grow if you are adverse to being uncomfortable. And you will not get to have those experiences like I got to have singing at Yankee Stadium. That was so important to our family because of my uncle's lineage there, right? I would have never been able to be there. Was it scary? Yes. But at that point, you understand how to harness that adrenaline, that thing that we call scary, or those stories in your head. You will learn it. And we're all going to learn continuously, you know? So that's my rant on, you
Well,
know, kind
if we want change, we all have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones. I mean, whatever that is for everybody, but and whatever it is, if it's, you're just like that 75 hard, the workouts, it was regimented, but it pushed you outside your comfort zone. So then you learn. It's like learning a skill, and then you can take that skill into other areas of your life. So things like that, I think, help you in other areas of your life, because you're like, well, okay, I did that thing. Now I know how to handle when that emotion comes up. Oh my gosh, this is uncomfortable. How do I manage this? You learn how to manage that fear, that feeling of being uncomfortable. I don't want to step outside of the box. I've lived outside of the box like almost my whole career. So, it's not fun, and it gets really lonely because you feel like, geez, am I just the only crazy person out there? That's why we meet people like you, or I listen to the Biggleson speak, like, oh, thank God I'm not the only crazy person out there
Oh,
that
you drug
feels
me
that
into the crazy people, huh?
that believes this stuff, but it does get easier. You keep pushing, and I don't know, like I said before, I feel like I have to do what I believe in, and what I believe is right, and what I believe is true, even if it's uncomfortable. So it, but again, it's a choice. You can stay in your comfort zone and give away your power to other people, or you can take your power back and you know, make your own choices, but it will be uncomfortable.
Well, I just heard the Bigelson brothers say, we feel like aliens. You know, once they got outside of their father's clinic, of that world, and I heard Josh talking about that he went to Washington and he was visiting naturopaths. And he was like, most naturopaths are just green allopaths, basically what he was saying. He was like, you know, they're pretty much on that same level. And he was like, I so felt like an alien. He was like, they weren't speaking my language. I wasn't speaking their, you know, we're not the same.
Right.
And he just being inside of that, you know, comfort box with his father that had great results, and they were raised outside of the whole virus bacteria. You know, they have these shirts that say germs are us, right? Germs are us. That's what they say. And they're like,
I love it.
Yeah. They were talking about spirochetes. They're like, they're there for a reason. Right. And I would so love for them to come on the podcast, Dr. Jacek, and really talk about bacteria, salmonella, E. coli, these different type of things that people so worry about in the raw diet, or Lyme disease. You should hear Dr. Bigelson talk about what he thinks Lyme disease really is, right?
I'm interested in that.
It is nothing like the narrative that is out there that causes so much fear, that causes so many pet parents to do these things that set up a toxic environment, a toxic terrain for their dogs, because they don't understand how health really works. And I'm still learning, right? It's fascinating. You're just like, oh my gosh. And the one thing that they always say is, they're like, this body is amazing. This body is always moving towards health, not trying to kill you, right? This body's not trying to kill you. It will, you know, it, but so they don't talk about pets that much. It's in there. But everything that they're saying about the human body, we say about the pets. Yeah. And we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're not crazy.
It's the same principle. Biology is biology. The body has all these wonderful mechanisms to stay healthy. We create illness by the things we do, or the things we expose our pets to, or the improper nutrition and the toxins. Health is the natural state of the body wants to regain health and that natural homeostasis. Disease is created. Like, you don't have to create health. You just have to stop doing the things that cause the imbalances. And health is natural. And it really is so simple. And I think the fact that we're just bombarded by so much information and the media and propaganda and the news and everything that's false, that's where I think a lot of people, you know, get off track, including pet parents, because the veterinary industry is so captured. You know, that's why I don't encourage people to go into the vet anymore unless it's a true emergency, a cut or a broken bone or, you know, a bleeding tumor or something like that, where you just have to go in for something. There is no such thing as wellness care. They just make pets sicker. And it's really sad, but, you know, because the people used to be able to have a relationship with their veterinarian and they would actually help them, you know, keep their pets healthier, but, you know, it's not the case anymore. You know, another thing they said that I thought was interesting, you were talking about the terrain, is that doctors lost a lot of the feel for the terrain when they stopped doing house calls. Doctors used to do house calls and they'd go into the home, so they'd get a feel for the environment. So it's not just the internal environment, it's the external environment. What's going on? Again, you can get that vibe if there's tension, if there's anger, if there's, you know, things going on, if the, you know, the house is really unkept or something, where it's a very busy household, and, you know, you could tell, or, you know, what kind of food is sitting out on the counter. You know, you could tell a lot just by walking into somebody's home. And so doctors could get a feel for that, but they, you know, stopped doing that quite some time ago and lost that. Now it's a, you know, 15-minute in and out, appointment where the doctor barely even looks you in the eye. They just type on their computer the whole time and what, okay, these are the symptoms. This is the diagnosis. Here's your prescription. Next, please. And that's what medicine has become.
Well, they even said they were talking about going in for checkups. People, they were like, "What? Why? What are you doing? Why?" And so they say a lot of the things based on research, based on outcomes, based on their experience with people that we say with the pets. Why? Because we see a lot of pets. We see a lot of the same things. And but one of the, again, I will say this. They say if your body got to this certain position, you can reverse it. And the one thing that they did say is, because I thought about this as we talk about detox, they said when your body is going in the reverse, many times these other symptoms are going to reappear.
Yeah, reoccur, right?
Right, because you're going back through that pathway that you came. And so they're like, at that point, and we see this with the dogs, Dr. Jason, people get afraid and they do a knee-jerk reaction that sends them back the other way because they don't understand how the body works. And we see this in when dogs are detoxing, right? Oh my gosh, my dog's getting worse. The hair's falling out. They got mucusy poops. They got stuff coming out of their eyes. Their ears are getting bad. They're itching like crazy. That's right. Keep going. Stay the course. Stay the course. And I'll never forget this, years ago, this customer had this dog and she came to us, this boxer, because she said, "I'm about to lose my mind. This dog has such severe allergies. I've had him on all this, pharmaceutical stuff, and I can no longer afford it emotionally or financially. I need your help in finding a new home for this dog."
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Now she had just gotten on Raw. And I don't find homes for dogs. That's not the business I'm in. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And I think she thought I was, which was great because she didn't give the dog away. And about 8 weeks later, this dog took a turn for the better. And she kept that dog for the rest of its life. And she couldn't believe it. She was literally about to give the dog away because she just couldn't handle it anymore. And I think that she had been on the raw diet for about, 6 weeks at that time. And she had said, "This isn't working. And I just don't believe anything's going to work." And because I delayed and didn't do anything, this dog took a turn.
Because it takes time. And I think you have to learn to read, like when symptoms, like, I think people have the mindset like their pets should never have a symptom, never have diarrhea, never vomit, never itch, never anything. But I think what we need to do is look at what we're seeing and say, okay, what's the body telling us? What's my pet's body? It's itching. Okay, is it detoxing? Is there a flea? Is there, what's going on? What's making the pet itch instead of running for something to just we just kind of make that itch go away? I just don't want my pet itching. If we step back and say, what is the itch telling us? What's the diarrhea telling us? What is the vomiting telling us? And what are like the next logical steps to take to find out, and then what can we do about it? Because they will sometimes, there's, I mean, in homeopathy they talk about healing crises where you start to treat, and it's like you said, sometimes you go back through other symptoms, other past symptoms. Sometimes things are cyclical. I tell people, we're working at dogs with itchy skin and they're doing better. I'm like, okay, we're coming into springtime. It's a seasonal shift. Things are going to change. Your pet's body is going to change. And yes, we might get a flare up, but it's okay. If it shows up, we'll deal with it. We've made a lot of progress, so it's okay. This is just the body cycles, just like the season cycle, and it's not like that's bad or we're not having success. We just need to see what's going on with the body and honor that and find ways to mitigate it. So it's not like our pets are never going to have any sort of symptom. I think we just need a different way of looking at what those symptoms mean, and not just, okay, put the blinders on. If that symptom just goes away, then my pet is healthy. And I think that's the mindset. That's why, Apoquel is so widely sold, because people think, well, as long as my pet quits itching, then everything's okay. But it's not. You're driving it deeper. You have to look at, what does that itch mean? What is my pet's body trying to tell me? And what can we do? Maybe it takes longer to work through that, but then your pet's going to have a longer, healthier life, just like the client you're talking about. Yeah, she had to wait out the rot. She had to allow the body to go through the cycle, but then she had a life, she got to keep her dog, and then had a lifelong healthy dog.
So it's all very interesting, and as Dr. Jacek and I find things, find stuff, then we're gonna impart that information to you. Dr. Jacek's invaluable. There's so few of you out there, Dr. Jacek, and I hope that people understand how valuable you are, and if they wear you out, Dr. Jacek, then we got to find a different way, because we can't let you go away. We got to find a different way. You can't go. I'm not in the now. I'm in the future.
You're in fear. You're in fear, Dean.
I'm in fear. So maybe we'll put together a resource like what the Bigglesons are doing with their academy, and that way people can come in and really understand. We certainly understand if you get afraid and you don't know, but I will tell you right now, if you have somebody like Dr. Jacek on your team, they can calm you down, right? How many times have I reached out to you, Dr. Jacek, to help me reshift my thinking or to get back on the path, right?
Yeah,
A lot of times.
sometimes just some. Well, it's easy to go into fear. We all have emotional reactions. Like you said, it's not like we don't, and you don't want to just suppress that. But what do you do with it? I followed. I have followed Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is a chiropractor, and he healed his body. He had a spinal fracture. He was hit by a truck on a bicycle, and he had a spinal fracture, and he healed it just through visualizing a healthy spine. But he says, whatever emotion comes up, you got 90 seconds. He says he tells his own kids this, like, do what you want, rant, carry on, whatever. But you got 90 seconds, and then you let it go. Deal with it and move it on, and move on to something else. So, again, it's easier said than done. But if you think about it and you work towards it, you can slowly make progress. Because we only suffer when we hold on to those toxic emotions anyway. The fear and the anger, it's not helping anything. It's not changing anything. It's just hurting us.
That's what I would like to learn more about, Dr. Jason, because how do I know if I'm letting go? And I asked Josh Biggleson this. I asked the question, I said, how, what, I asked him, what question would I ask myself to understand where I'm blocking my own health? Right? And he said, that's a great question. I wish I had exactly what he said, but here's what he said in a nutshell. He said, ask your body, meditate, ask yourself to reveal to you. And he said, you can do the different type of like, what are those practices where Kwon Do or,
Qigong, Tai Chi, yeah.
Qigong is what he said. And he said, those type of practices will help you to listen to your body. But I almost was a little disappointed. I was like, I wanted a very black
Concise
and white.
answer,
I want,
yeah.
you know, I want that
You didn't
pill.
want you didn't want to have to go out and figure it out. Like,
I was
oh,
like,
another exercise.
right? Or just, he just said, meditate. And you know what's funny? Again, and the Bigglesons always say this, they don't believe in coincidences. And so now I'm looking at things and going, that wasn't a coincidence. But we're getting ready to do April 6th, the 30-day Hard 75. I don't know what you call it, 30-day extended Hard 75. Part of the addition, so you do everything that you did. Part of the addition is the 5-minute cold shower, which you and I have talked about this, and I'm like really fighting this. I know I can do it. I don't want to do it. You've done 10-minute showers, cold showers, right? All right, but there's visualization that's a part of this. And I'm like, wow, I'm getting ready to do this, you know, next step. And now they're bringing in visualization, which is something that Rick and I, at this point in time in our life, are needing and are ready for. And so I thought that was kind of cool.
So you could be in the cold shower and just visualize the steam of a hot shower.
Right. I'm pretty sure that doesn't work, but okay.
But you want to talk about being in the now? There's no better way than to be in that cold. You are right there. You are so, you want to talk about how to get present? I told you we did cold plunges in Bear Creek. You are so right there. You're not thinking about anything else except just dealing with that moment. It puts you in the now like nothing I've ever experienced.
Right. And somebody said to me yesterday that they, I don't know if they actually have the research, but this is what they said, that you release a lot of dopamine, an enormous amount of dopamine in those cold plunges, in those cold showers and stuff like that. Now, I don't know. I hope I'm happy as hell when I get out, you know, and not.
You're
like,
really happy to get. You're really happy to get out. You're like, oh, thank God, I'm out of there.
But I was thinking about the dogs. So, you know, we get a lot of snow, and Lozzie, and all dogs that I see, they're just like, oh my gosh, there's snow, you know, and they're just like doing the zoomies and they're going crazy. And I'm wondering if those paws, you know, get so cold and they're like, dopamine. I don't know.
Maybe. I know all dogs, it's just a universal dog thing. My chihuahuas did love the snow. They are the exception, but they didn't like to get their feet wet. They're a little different than most dogs.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
Most dogs love the snow. Most dogs love the snow.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll have the zoomies out of the shower. I don't know. I'm going to do it because you've done 10 minutes. And if you've done 10, Dr. Jasek, I can at least do 5. But anyway, so that's a thing. If you feel like you're blocked, if you feel like your dog's blocked, right?
Take a
somewhere,
cold shower.
take a cold shower or meditate and ask the body to reveal it to you and then start watching. And I don't know. I'm on this kind of weird journey right now, but we want to introduce you to the folks that really resonate with us. If they don't resonate with you, maybe it's not time, maybe who knows, but it is the Bigelson Academy. So it's Bigelson, Josh and Adam Bigelson. You can call them the Bigelson brothers. I think Dr. Cowan had them in the healing conference that they had speaking. They've been on the end of COVID conference, but they have their own website. And let me just make sure that I've given you guys the right website here, or just Google the Bigelson brothers. You have that website, Dr. Jasek? Is it right here? Their academy that I'm in is called the University of Terrain. But their website, just go to BigelsonAcademy.com, Bigelson, BigelsonAcademy.com. You can watch some videos there. You can see Adam and Josh. See what you think. I watched their entire interview with Amanda Vollmer, and I was just absolutely blown away. And I don't know what time it was, Dr. Jasek, when I texted you, and I was like, oh my gosh. It's like an epiphany. I was just like, I'm in love with these guys.
Yeah, I know. Like, you sent me that and I'm like, wow, that like, I could tell it really affected you. And I'm like, I really got to listen to this. And then I listened to another video and now I'm going to sign up for their thing so I can get even more information because it really resonated with me as well.
Yeah. And you know, I don't get that over the moon. Mm-mm. About too many people. I'm, you know, but I really, really love their work. So anyway, there's that. And get over to ahavet.com. You got an itchy dog. You got a dog that's got elevated liver enzymes. You got a dog that's got bumps and lumps that you're wanting to poke into. I think you want to talk to Dr. Jasek first. And you can do all that at ahavet.com. Ahavet.com. All right. So get over there and work with Dr. Jasek. Remember, the rabies webinar is on our Rumble page. It's Raw Dog Food and Company. You're going to see all the videos, the shorts. We put up a lot of information off of these podcasts over there as well. And then get your dog on a species appropriate diet. And you can do that today. You can get them off of kibble. You can get them on the food that they were born to eat, not the food that interrupted their evolutionary process. Okay. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Dr. Jasek.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.